my God, I'm so excited. I'm so ready for this show to start again. This is Game of Thrones. This is the introduction. Hold on, I just gotta picture myself watching this on Sunday sometime in the next couple months, because it's back and Jon Snow is totally alive. Anyway, I have Elif Geiris in studio again. This is your second time doing You've Been Challenged.
Yeah,
with
thanks.
Me, Craig Collins.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you, Elif. So this is interesting. The way that I'm going to do Game of Thrones, because as you can tell probably from my oddly nerdy slash maybe a little bit creepy open to this podcast, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, like a big, big fan. I haven't read all the books yet, but I have every intention of doing that. I just really, really enjoy this TV show. And so what I thought I'd do, and this is unique, is I would challenge one person to watch maybe 7 episodes or maybe even a full season. I'm getting a little bit behind. And have it all up by the time the show premieres. So you were my first pick. You, my first guest, since you said you'd never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. And I said, you know what, Elif? Let's go ahead and do season 1. You and I will talk about it after you binge it. So I don't have to binge anything for my podcast. You have to binge it. And you got how far through the show?
I got through the first 5 minutes of the first episode.
The first 5 minutes? So you were texting me as this was happening. You got through 5 minutes of episode 1... And you said, no more of this. I can't do this anymore. And that was because of the beheading? Was that the beheading?
Yeah, it was all the chopped up body parts.
So it was the murders by the ice people when they killed all the guys.
I think they were ice people.
And then the horses came, and then Ned Stark was there. And Ned Stark, by the way, is amazing, and only in season 1. After season 1, Ned Stark is not a character anymore because he's also beheaded.
Oh, okay, well... Good thing I didn't go much further.
So the reason that you couldn't watch any of it, though, is because you didn't really like the violence.
I don't like violence in general. I don't like anything that messes with my psychology.
You don't seem like a violent person, so that seems to make sense. Not that I think only violent people like violence on TV shows, but Game of Thrones does show a lot of stuff. There, when you slice a head off, you know, you really get the whole head rolling and the blood squirts everywhere, and you said that that would cause nightmares.
I did. And it's true. I've had nightmares from
what?
Horror films. Yeah.
From horror films? What horror film gave you a nightmare?
I think the first installment of Insidious.
That makes sense. Do you want to know what movie gave me a nightmare as a kid?
What?
Ernest Scared Stupid. I don't know if you know about the Ernest movies. They were really dumb movies. And there's a movie where Ernest gets scared stupid, and it also scared me stupid.
Was it a cartoon?
No. It's live. Ernest is a famous dude who really did. You're too young for this. Damn it, Elif, you're making me feel old now.
I'm not that much younger than you.
I know. Stupid. Hold on, I'm Googling. You say stuff.
So there's this show called Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Oh, yeah. No, he's a little purple dog?
It's a little, pink or purple.
And he's got like an old lady?
And there's an old lady and a
grandpa. This show is creepy.
That show, when I was growing up, when I was probably between the ages of 5 and 8.
Yeah, I remember not liking the show, so that's fine.
It gave me serious nightmares. Mm-hmm. And then my sister decided to tap into my psychology and mess with me more because she knew I was afraid of that show.
Well, and also that dog, he seemed to be the only aware one in the family. The grandpa and the grandma seem to not know what's going on at all, so the dog
naive.
Is witnessing all these scary things every single episode, and we as the viewer also are scared. So yeah, I fully understand that. Ernest is this guy that I'm showing you on a computer screen here. He was scared stupid, not inside this pumpkin, although that is the cover to the movie, by a little like trolley thing that could touch you and turn you to a troll. And so the troll would go around, he's like a monster, and he touched people and he turned them to little blocks of like little wood things. And I was really scared by that. I was so scared as a kid because one of the girls who gets turned they like touch her foot. Like she goes to bed and they get her foot and then she turns. Yeah. So for years, probably more years than I want to admit, I went to bed with socks on and I could not go to bed with socks off because I thought that someone was going to get my foot. And that, you know, that's not even a nightmare. That's just psychosis. I was just insane. But I was very, very afraid of being turned to a block of wood.
Well, that it's scary for a little kid, as silly as it sounds to
us. No, it is.
Now,
even
a kid.
An adult to be afraid of getting beheaded. Were you afraid of being beheaded in your apartment at some point? Was that a fear?
Well, you actually originally gave me different guidelines. Remember, you said
yes.
Watch
the second season.
Yeah, watch the second season.
I told you to watch the second season. Actually, okay, so let's. I'm not sure that any of this binge is going to work, and I wanted to talk about that with you. I don't know if you've ever had friends that you had to ask to do something, either for your professional career or just like somebody you need them to do you a favor. So I asked a few different friends to watch seasons for me and stuff, and I've noticed where my friendship like taps out with some people. Because if you ask them for a full season of TV, you then know what friends are into 10 hours of committing to, Craig asked me to do this, I'm going to do 10 hours of this. And you tried. You couldn't do it because of the violence. Other people just straight up told me, no, there's no way that I can do that right now, Craig. I apologize to you. So have you ever had that experience where you had to ask somebody to do something and then they just couldn't do that?
I've asked people to
do favors?
To do me different favors. Yeah. And they've been like, I don't know if I could do that because blah, blah, blah. And then I'll be like, come on, you can do it.
Yeah,
like,
you
just
can do
try.
That. Yeah.
Just
well,
try.
it's a good barometer to how close of a friend this is, how difficult the favor is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this one is a time-consuming one. Yours,
it is.
Your,
no, I
request.
Actually, I also kind of looked at what I've done. I have now, this is my 20th podcast for You've Binge Challenged. I'm up to 20. This is officially number 20. And I have watched about 15 hours of television for each one, times 20 now. That means 300 hours
yeah.
of television. This started back in what, like September or something? So that's 12 days of my life. 12 full days, like not even counting the sleep. If you took sleep out, that's even more days of my life that are just gone to binging things specific for this podcast. So I don't think I can keep asking people to binge stuff. I think I have to be the binger. I think moving forward after this, I've learned that I have to be the binger,
okay.
Which is okay.
And your audience knows of your job here, right?
I'm the producer for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez 5 nights a week. I produce a radio show which takes up a lot of time, and then we talk about
keeps
other
you up
TV
late too.
Yeah.
And you are up doing work for it during the day, you've got
True.
Your meetings.
Uh-huh.
How do you and I don't
how do
mean
I binge
to
this much?
Reverse the interview.
No, please, let's do it, Elif.
How do
you host
binge?
The show.
Yeah, how do you binge watch anything?
Well, that's a good question, because you know what actually happened, and I wanted to admit this today as well. I binged something else. When you said that you couldn't do Game of Thrones season one, I was like, okay, should I binge something that I know you've seen before for you, or should I just selfishly binge something for me? I chose the selfish for me again. I've seen all of Daredevil season two, and this just came out like Wednesday, Friday. I think it came out Friday. I've seen all of it. That's 13 episodes, 13 hours of television. I've done that along with watching Game of Thrones and other stuff. So I don't know. I just don't sleep, really. I'm taking a page out of Patty's book, and we just choose not to sleep, the two of us.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely part of her regime.
Yeah, no. There's really very little sleep involved. I eat a lot of cookies, a lot of caffeine, sugar at all times. That is my number one.
That's
like
so bad
Elf.
For you, Craig.
It tastes amazing, though. What's wrong with sugar?
You don't sleep, and you're eating all this sugar and carbohydrates.
Is this what this is becoming? Is this an intervention? Did I not know what this was? Yeah, I do. Yeah, well, and pasta is good for you, right? To stay up late. Like, if you go home, I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if you ever wanted to discover this, but if you do something till late night and then you want to stay up a long time, make yourself a hearty bowl of pasta. Just a big, like, a big, nice bowl of some kind of ridiculous, like, spaghetti is good, meatballs if you have them. These things will keep you up for several additional hours.
Is it because it hurts your stomach if you go to bed too early?
It's also probably the amount that I eat. I eat a large bowl, and I think my body then knows that this is irresponsible. To go to bed after eating that much food
mm-hmm.
just seems to be a huge... Because I'm going to be a double Craig, which is a conversation I have a lot, that at some point I will be double Craig.
Double
and
Craig.
I look forward to double Craig. He'll be a really nice guy.
Width-wise.
Yeah, I'm talking predominantly width-wise. I don't think you get height from eating more food. Do you gain height? If I eat a lot, do I get taller?
That's what we're telling the kids. So maybe we should.
Oh man,
stick with that.
I would love that idea. I want to be so much taller. I'm going to eat twice as much food now to be taller. This sounds exciting. We've gotten off track a little bit. So I've seen all of Daredevil. I assume you've seen none of that.
I haven't seen any of that.
Any of that? Any of the two seasons?
I started watching a different show though. Can I?
Did you binge? Yeah, go ahead.
I have one that you can challenge someone else to binge watch.
Okay.
It's called The Inbetweeners.
Oh, no, I've seen it. I've seen all that.
Oh, my God.
I got challenged to The Inbetweeners by Amy Guth. It's part of this podcast series.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, is
okay.
That why you watched the show? Just go ahead and tell me yes right now, even though
yeah,
that's not.
Yeah, that
okay,
is
good.
Why.
Oh,
I listened
good.
To your podcast.
You did, the whole thing, and you loved it so much you had to watch the whole show.
Yeah.
That's great. Cool. Let's
it's
talk
hilarious.
About that.
Okay,
that's fine.
Sure.
Inbetweeners Part 2. Who's your favorite character out of the four guys?
I'm going to go... I forgot his name.
The nerdy one?
The
I mean, they're all kind of nerdy.
The sex pest.
Okay. Flags are up now, Elif. I feel like, because the other show that I thought about watching for you was True Blood. I remember on our last podcast that you really liked True Blood because you said it was. I like the long pause. Let's try it. Because you said it was. Do you remember what you described it as?
Kind of softcore porn. Is that why I said I liked it?
I don't know if that's why you said you specifically liked it, but that's why you said a lot of other people enjoyed the show, is that it was softcore porny.
I remember saying those words, but I don't think that was why I personally liked it.
But that's why other
it.
People like it.
Yeah, some okay. people like it for that. Some people, I mean, only it. Because it's
It sounds like,
innocence.
Though, if you like the sex pest in Betweeners, that you might, I'm starting to develop an Elif profile now. And actually, you missed out a lot. In Game of Thrones, there is a lot of that stuff too. There's a lot of the romance. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about if I were to go through with watching Game of Thrones mm-hmm. and see these different themes on the show, that I would highlight that as one of them because I've heard of it, and probably too much of that.
Actually,
also,
just a few minutes after when you probably quit on the show, there was going to be a naked lady. You just missed a naked lady by just a few minutes.
Oh, shucks.
I know.
The lesbian in me is so disappointed.
Her and Peter Dinklage were about to get it on. Peter Dinklage gets it on with a lot of people in that show. Why is my microphone? It doesn't want to stay. Okay. Now it's too high. Now my microphone is too tall for my face. This is really difficult. Hold on. How does Nick D do this? We're in Nick D's studio right now.
Mm-hmm.
Does he slouch constantly? Do I do the chair? All right. Here we go. I have adjusted my chair now, Elif. I'm shorter than you now.
You're a funny host.
In the power position. Thank you. Anyway, we're getting off traffic. What am I saying?
Off topic.
We are lost in traffic in the conversation. What did you like so much about the sex pest image? Look at this. I'm just going to forget all the things I said leading up to this and just go back to the question. What was the main thing you liked about your sex pest friend from The Inbetweeners?
My sex pest friend is just...
Is that a good way to describe him?
If that's the way that you want to describe him,
That's the way you describe him first, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't take credit for that.
He's... Someone else on the show calls him a sex pest, and
that is an Elifism.
I've never heard that word before until that night that I watched it.
Look at you. The innocent Elif is now coming out. Okay, so what did you like about him?
I just think he's hilarious. He talks about...
And that's
about,
Jay Cartwright. Is the one you're
What's
talking
about.
What's
his character name, though?
That's Jay. That's the actual character's name. Jay. He's the one who lies a lot about having slept with a lot of people, but he's really slept with nobody.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, high school boys and the expectations that their peers have for them and that they heighten for themselves as a result of those expectations is sad. And
it is very sad. You're right.
But they've made it so funny. There's one episode where I don't remember exactly what it was. No, I remember.
Did they go to the... He talked a lot about... Jay, in one episode, talks a lot about a family vacation they take to a trailer park area.
Oh, Caravan Club.
The Caravan Club.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's not the one he wanted to talk about?
I think it was in that episode where...
Right. He talks about all the ladies he gets in the Caravan Club, and so his friends begrudgingly go with him to Caravan Club, only to discover that most of the ladies are old and Jay is not scoring them.
Okay, I don't think I saw it, but I remember him talking about it. Maybe I didn't finish the episode.
Oh, got it. Okay, yeah.
So he's one of my favorite characters because he's just relentlessly trying to
be all cool. Yeah, they're all very good at being kind of a type. They all have kind of a specific sort of stereotype that they, I think, really portray very well in that show. It's a very raunchy show, actually, but it does it really well. As Amy Guth said, she sometimes enjoys a raunchy, like, joke, but shows or movies that do that too much kind of go to the well in a way that's really not funny. It kind of dies quickly. This show, for whatever reason, seems to be entertaining for the entire three seasons it ran, and apparently there are two movies. It seems funny and intelligent, but still really dirty.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. The scene is the tall, skinny one. I forgot all their names, but the tall, skinny one that you don't see as often.
Neil?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's Neil.
He walks into the common room where Jay and the other guys are sitting, and he goes, "So Mrs. whatever bent over and picked up a ruler, and I saw loads of leg and a little bit of boob too."
Wow.
And then Jay goes, "You lucky git." Git.
So we just learned a few things in the retelling of this episode. Elif does a British voice, a British male voice, I think, is what. Can I hear some more stuff? Can you give me some more sentences
okay
from the show?
What else do they say?
British Elif seems like a lot of fun. I'm going to be honest right now. I think she's a wise cracker of a lady.
You know what? We can fix the door later. Neil's sister's boyfriend works at a car shop. He can fix it later.
Oh my
Let's
God.
Just go on the rides.
Yes, let's do all those things. No, it's really. And did you start taking some of the slang terms they used and bring them out?
Sex
with
pest.
You? Sex. Well, that one specifically.
Oh, I haven't used it yet. But
right. Well, no, you have. But you'll use it
now
again.
Now I am. Now,
right.
Yeah.
Have you used any of the other ones? Because I hung out with a bunch of Irish guys when I was a bartender at Navy Pier one summer. This is a thing that I did at the Haagen-Dazs at Navy Pier, actually, specifically. There you could be a bartender. So I did that, and all the Irish dudes working there had a bunch of weird slang terms, and I started to just pick them all up, and I developed an Irish, you know, Craig.
Okay, how about the W word? How bad is that to say on your show?
No, go ahead. Let's go ahead. If I bleep it, I bleep it.
Wanka.
Yeah, wanka. No, I think that's fine. I mean, does the FCC even know what that means? I doubt it. They don't check on that stuff. No, it doesn't matter.
Well,
that
there are
count,
a lot
right?
of bad ones.
Right. No, they say some really terrible stuff. It's actually similar to another show that I binge watched for this podcast called Deadwood, where the characters say these long, like, paragraphs of just awful things all laced together. It's really impressive when you can put that many dirty words inside of, like, you know, a 10 word sentence. I think that's an impressive thing. I don't know. I don't know if you're impressed by that. If someone can weaken it, I can't speak right now. If someone can work in enough of those words in, like, if it's half of the sentence is dirty words, that's impressive to me. If they make sense. If it makes sense. Because you can't just say, like, you bastard jerk face. Jerk face is not a bad word. Something. It has to all flow together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that impresses you?
It doesn't impress me, per se.
Does it make you laugh, at least? Do you find it humorous? Is there something about it that's appealing? Is Elif someone who grew up not saying many bad words?
She is. Well, no, okay. No. The D word was, as in D-A, and you know the rest.
No, I still can't figure it out.
Okay. I know you know. I know.
Okay, so that word is one that you used a lot?
That was one that I think I heard a lot, and so I used it. But that's the only one.
Got it. That one's not that bad. You can actually say that one on, like, TV and this podcast. Damn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one's not. We could call this a damn podcast if I wanted to, and that's okay. And you flinched, actually. You're flinching to the word now.
I did flinch.
Yeah. This is interesting. We're learning a lot of things. So even if Game of Thrones hadn't murdered a bunch of people in the first 6 minutes, I don't think you would have made it because of a lot of the other reasons.
Well, here's the thing. You originally told me to watch
Season 2
and not to have any background knowledge.
Yeah, which I thought that was going to be funny, actually.
And it would have been interesting, but when I was 40 minutes in, I really wanted to have something to talk to you about.
Right.
And so that was when I texted you and I was like, hey, can I please just go back to Season 1?
Can I do that instead?
So, yeah, so
I
you said
yes.
Okay. My mom walked in.
Oh.
And I was like, because I was watching it on the living room TV.
Nice.
She wasn't home. And, you know, it's awkward to watch.
Oh,
some
so awkward.
Scenes with
Are
parents.
You a Mad Men fan?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's an episode of Mad Men early on. I think it's like the second season. And it's a really rough moment. Joan, right? She gets raped by, like, her soon to be fiance / husband in, like, one
oh,
of
yeah.
the offices. Do you remember that?
I think so.
I'm over my friend's house in college, and I'm watching it with his parents. It's Mad Men. I haven't seen the episode before. It's brand new. And I'm like, oh, Mad Men's such a great show, you guys. It's such a good show. We love it. And all of a sudden, it transitions to the rape scene. And so now me, my roommate, all of his family, his younger sister, his, you know, mom and dad are watching a really dramatic, like, sexual intense moment, and I'm like, this part's not so good. No,
that's
don't judge
awkward.
Me. Yeah, it's so awkward. And then actually, I also went to Wedding Crashers in mm-hmm. high school with my girlfriend and her mom. And if you remember the Wedding Crashers movie, in the first 5 minutes, they're bedding a bunch of ladies, so, like, you're just seeing boobs and stuff fly
yeah.
everywhere. And I didn't know what to do because it's my girlfriend's mom, and I'm, you know, an 18-year-old high school kid. So I looked away. I pretended the ceiling was very interesting during those moments, and it's a movie theater, so that makes no sense. It's pitch black. I can't see what's up there. But I just thought that was a better place to look than the nudity.
Than for them to maybe glance over at you and see you
right.
watching.
Right.
The scene.
And so for me, the awkwardness was actually that these were parents who were not my own. You're saying that even with your own mother, it was still awkward to see the murder.
Oh, not the murder.
Oh.
I said, just a fair warning, there might be sex in the first scene or there might be murder in the first
Got
scene.
It.
So
okay. Describe to me Mama Elif.
She actually was the one who convinced me to stop watching.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
So she's the one that I have to blame for the fact that you gave up on this entirely.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was like, who challenged you to watch this show?
This boy that asked you to watch this TV show for his podcast is a terrible person. Is that how she sounds?
Kind of, yeah. But I defended you.
Okay, thank you.
And I said, well, loads of people watching. My cousin watches it.
You were even using GOT, the G-O-T, when you were texting with. You were already taking up the slang. You already were pretending you were a Game of Thrones slang person.
You know, I tried. I tried. I did try. It's not that I didn't.
No, I know. Okay, so your mom walks in. Someone gets beheaded. You are what? You're crying in the corner already at this point?
I was covering my face.
Okay.
And she was like, Elif, this is ridiculous.
Was she also disturbed by it?
Yeah, she was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mama Elif doesn't,
sound
she doesn't
effects.
Enjoy this. Okay, so is that how she lets you know that she's disapproving?
Yeah, she's like, oh, what are you thinking? Is your friend normal?
Wow. That is rough. Okay.
So I defended you.
No, that's sweet of you. Your household, Game of Thrones, is not a thing at all. Kevin seems like a guy, and he's part of the family now.
Kevin is a guy.
Yeah, he seems like a... Well, I didn't finish my sentence.
Know.
Wait, well done, though, Elif. He seems like a guy that might like this stuff, right? Does he?
I'm not sure if he watches Game of Thrones, but I wouldn't be surprised
Kevin,
if he did.
Kevin, watch Game of Thrones with Mama Elif, and please convince her that this is an okay thing and not a thing that weird people ask her daughter to watch. I'm asking Kevin to do it because I don't think you're going to do it anymore. You're not going to go back. You're done with the show, right? You will never watch this TV show ever.
I think that statement is correct.
No matter how popular it gets, have you seen any of the other really popular shows that people talk about all the time, like Sopranos from HBO? Have you watched any of these things?
I watch Girls.
Okay, Girls is
HBO.
Dirty. That's a dirty show.
That is a dirty show.
I haven't seen any of Girls, and I guess I could have watched that for this podcast, and we could have done it that way, but isn't there a really dirty scene with Brian Williams' daughter?
Yeah.
Okay. And Mama Elif didn't catch you watching that?
No, but that's a show I like, so I don't
and
watch
even if,
it.
And even if Mama Elif had caught you, do you think she would have...
I think she'd be like, all right, I'm going to leave the room now.
But she wouldn't have told. She wouldn't have judged you. So the sex is okay. The murder is the only thing that's not okay.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So everything else that people do, like the drugs, people doing drugs on TV is okay with your mom?
She would still, she's kind of...
She would not like that. So Breaking Bad is not a show you can really watch either.
No, she's not okay with sex. She would have to leave the room.
Got it. But you are. You're personally okay with everything but the murder.
Right.
And that's only because of horrible nightmares.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yeah, got it. So what do you do in a movie theater if something skews? Do you actually screen your movies pretty well before you go and this one definitely has no killing in it?
It can have a little bit of killing, but usually I have a pretty good idea.
How do you feel about Quentin Tarantino?
I don't even know if I've watched any of his movies.
That makes a lot of sense.
But I know that he likes to use... murder and blood. And
yeah.
He likes to be really...
Over the top.
Rugged. Yeah.
Yeah, he's over the top with his violence and the way that it's kind of portrayed. And there's something to that, actually. Twin Peaks is another show that I've done for this podcast. And David Lynch is the creator of Twin Peaks, and he's very famous for a lot of different things that he puts into his TV shows and his movies. But at times, he also really enjoys to go really intense with the violence, the squirting of the blood. I think when you squirt the blood... That's an interesting thing that you're telling the audience. I'm willing to not only show the decapitation, but I want you to know that we're trying to make this as real as possible. So we're going to put a little pump in there that's going to squirt red juice out so it looks like the blood is still squirting. And Elif is getting very uncomfortable with this description and all the miming I'm doing that no one can see on the podcast. But I'm doing a lot of, I'm squirting with my fingers and a little, it's...
Flicking your fingers.
Yeah, flicking my fingers forward. As if the blood were spilling out of my neck. This way. So I enjoy that, though. When they go to the level of squirting, I think that that's a pretty cool... That says a lot to me about how gruesome they want it to appear. Because you could just decapitate the head. You don't have to go to the squirting. Because that's a whole second level, right? The heads come off, blood got everywhere. It doesn't need to be shooting. But once you start shooting it, I'm like, all right, that's what we're going to do now. That's what this whole episode is going to be about. It's going to be the squirting blood.
Okay, so can we... I do want to go back to Game of Thrones.
I don't know what I just said.
I thought it was... I mean, I thought it made sense.
Okay.
I find it hilarious, but I thought it made sense.
Right. But so you don't like the squirting blood, though. That's the elephant.
The squirting, the squirting effect, the action of the squirting.
The over-the-topness of the head has come off. It's rolling on the ground. And then, do you know when the eyes, when you see the eyes, like
roll.
After the head has been detached, and like the head always rolls up to the person's foot. It always seems to make it to that one guy's foot. And he always looks down, which, by the way, if a head were ever detached in front of me and rolled to my foot, I would not look down. I would run away from that scenario. I would not stop and be like, oh, what is this? I know what it is. I just saw it get lopped off. I saw it head toward me. I'm going that way.
Unless you want to go to a therapist.
Well, no, I'm probably already in therapy at that point. I mean, you're not going to get over that.
Exactly.
Like, that's no way. And so I don't need the actual eyes. But so did the eyes freak you out? Is it the dead person eyes? I want the line. I need the violence line.
I'll tell you. So in the first 5 minutes of that first episode of the second season. Someone gets killed by the order of the guy, the blonde guy, the jerk.
Oh.
Everyone knows him as the jerk, right?
So the Lannisters.
He's kind of like Draco Malfoy looking.
But he's older. He's not Draco Malfoy. He's old. Oh, no, wait.
Like,
so Joffrey. You're actually talking about Joffrey. You're talking about the king.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. So in season two, Joffrey is the king. Huh?
The day he gets a name or something. It's his name day.
Yeah, so it's probably becoming the king because the other king died. By the way, this is something I did want to talk about had you actually made it through season one, is that the first king in the first season dies at, like, hunting. He goes hunting and he gets killed. And if I were king, one thing I would stop doing is going hunting. I would never hunt again because that's a very easy way to get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the guns, that makes sense. If I went somewhere as king and guns were also allowed there, I would decide not to go there because that's you want to keep the murderers away from you. So they have, like, the weapons. They're killing stuff. This is all okay when you're king and you go hunting. So an accident and a stabbing makes a lot of sense. Like, no one would question that. So I, if I were king, would do the opposite of that. Like, I would never go to anything dangerous. I would probably not even go to, like, the sword fight that the other guys were having. I would stay in my tower and yell from the top of the tower to commence the sword fight and maybe have somebody describe to me what was happening so I wasn't anywhere near the swords.
Right, exactly. No, that makes sense. I would.
You're
probably
taking me so seriously, and I enjoy
just,
it so much.
I'm trying to keep up with all
okay.
the action.
Yeah, there's a lot of action. I'm thinking about a lot of things at once right now, and I'm interrupting you a lot, aren't I? So you were saying something about Joffrey, like, kills somebody or something?
He orders someone to be killed in the very beginning.
The okay.
blonde, blue-eyed guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of short. Anyway. So,
Joffrey is his name.
Okay, Joffrey.
King,
so
yeah.
that is Joffrey. And
he's a bastard.
Yeah, so there's a fight between two guys. One of them
But he's
is,
not a bastard, actually. The bastard is also a character. He's just a bastard as in the term of...
As
like,
a jerk, as
a,
in a
yeah,
jerk,
a
not a
person.
Bastard child.
Yeah, but, which
right.
is also a thing in the show.
So what happens is... Did I right. just accidentally wink at you?
No,
okay,
that's totally
I was
fine.
Flinching again.
No, it's okay.
Two guys are fighting, and mm-hmm. one of them gets pushed over this really tall... landing and
okay.
falls over the landing onto the ground way below, and
yeah.
that's what disturbed me. Was
does
that,
he just squish? Does his whole body like just squish?
He just falls, and you just see the blood.
So he just completely falls apart as a person. Like he falls into pieces.
I don't think he fell to pieces, but I think
okay.
he just fell.
Was
and
there
that
squirting
was
blood?
There was blood, just spilling out, basically.
But there was no actual
like
squirting.
So it was a big circle.
Okay.
No, I don't remember if there was squirting or not.
So that disturbed you?
So what disturbed me was that this Joffrey guy, or
uh-huh.
that anyone on this show, is
uh-huh.
ordering these
murders,
creepy, awful murders. That
yeah,
kind
well, he's
of...
weird. He's disturbed. He's dead now. If that makes you feel any better, Joffrey is also dead.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people are dead, by the way. The first season. One of the big things, and I don't know where this podcast is going. I feel like at times I've lost complete train of my own brain, like complete train of thought out here is gone. But so if we're talking about Game of Thrones again, Ned Stark is kind of one of the stars of season one. He's the guy who beheaded the dude at the beginning that probably made you say, like, you're done. He gets
yeah.
killed at the end of the first season, and that was shocking to anyone that didn't read the books because he seemed like the star of the show. And that was a really cool... The first season is probably slower than any of the other seasons and a little boring, but that was a really cool moment for anyone that was a fan of the show from that point on or before, because it told us that all the characters can die. Like, there's some shows that do that, some shows that are willing to kill anybody. Mm-hmm. And when you're willing to do that, when The Walking Dead, I don't think it's killed the main guy yet, but they've killed a whole lot of people who seemed really important. When you're willing to go that far, I think it really entertains fans. What's interesting, if we talk about Game of Thrones as a whole, is that actually the last season, they killed someone that everybody seems not okay with. Like, we're okay with the idea that they'll kill anyone, but when you kill the really cute guy, we're all really upset by that. Because Jon Snow may not be alive anymore. And you don't even know who that... Does that mean anything? Does Jon Snow mean anything to you?
No.
You're kind of blessed, then, to not care that Jon Snow's alive or dead. That's kind of a nice way to have lived the last few months.
Is he a cute one?
He is... Well, okay. I'll go ahead and Google him for you. He is, I guess, the cutest one. Stephanie Menendez, mm-hmm. who works here, she seems to be a big Jon Snow fan.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him on the show. I remember
Well, you wouldn't,
because
he's dead. He died.
But only on the... Remember, I only watched 5 minutes
no,
of the show.
No, I'm kidding. I know. And he's probably not dead, actually. Melisandre's probably going to bring him back to life because she's in the camp with him, so it's no big deal. He's going to be on the whole season. It'll be fine. How do you feel when they bring characters back that are supposed to be dead? Have you ever watched a show where somebody,
remember?
Like, died?
Gossip Girl?
Gossip Girl. Oh, wow.
The
Good
dad.
Point. Yeah, so how do you feel about that stuff?
It's kind of stupid to me because
it's always stupid
because it's like you've mentally already accepted that that person is out of the show.
Yeah.
So why are we bringing them back again?
Right. The impact of them dying now means nothing. And the impact of, like, Arrow is a show that you probably don't watch any of these shows. I really like cartoons and superheroes. That's I'm really into that.
That's
so
fine.
I watch all of the superhero stuff. Arrow has killed a bunch of people now. And when you kill too many people and bring them back, what does killing mean anymore? Like, if anybody dies, they just come back somehow.
It kind of just makes it look like the script was missing something and they were in a rush
right.
to...
Well, let's kill this guy right together. Now. And then Lost kills people and none of them came back. Everybody who died in Lost, they were dead.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though. They should be gone
right.
once they're gone.
I mean, but then that show just ended terribly. So, you know, hold on. I'm going to really get sad about that for a second.
Okay.
Anyway, so Lost is just the worst ever. That's the worst.
True Blood. Can I bring something up about True Blood? The reason why I like that show, I think.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. It's the porniness.
No, the reason why I really liked it, in college, my friends were watching it. And uh-huh. I think this was my freshman year. I was really young.
Got it.
And I wasn't into violence at all. Still, I'm not.
And there's no real violence in True Blood, though, is there?
No. Yes, actually, there is. Like, people vampires tearing people's hearts out.
You see that?
I see
the heart come totally
you
out?
You see that, yes.
And what is happening now? Now I'm going to throw stuff at you. You like a show where people tear hearts out?
Yeah, but that was 6 years ago. And
so that Elif could handle it. This one can't?
Right. I've grown a little bit. I've seen terrorism in the news.
Oh, no, don't be. Yeah, you're right. You're being serious now. Yeah, that's true.
So, you know,
that's
you,
all accurate.
You become desensitized and then you become resensitized.
Yeah, no, I know. I wrote a paper in, what was it, freshman year of high school about how violence will desensitize us and it'll ruin, like, and then the squirting blood and stuff. Like, then we won't care about that anymore and then we'll all be, like, worse people who are more willing to do real violence in the real world. You're right. You're right. When you connect the two, all the grotesque, actually, my wife, who's from Mexico, mm-hmm. has encountered a lot of, like, serious moments in her life that seemed really dangerous for real. And so she doesn't watch some of this stuff with me. She's a huge fan of Game of Thrones for some reason.
Oh.
But most of it she can't watch because it reminds her of real life events. So
yeah,
I get that. But, you know, if you can block that out of your brain and just remember that it is entertainment for the sake of entertainment, it's not just I don't watch a violent show just because I really enjoy the murder. But, you know, it's a part of the show that I'm defending myself now. Now I feel all sad. Now I feel like I made the wrong decision here.
Well, when I was watching True Blood, it was I felt edgy. I felt like I can handle this.
Look at this.
You know?
Look what I'm doing.
I can handle violence now.
Got
and
it.
I became accustomed to it after watching 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. Eric just pulled someone's heart out of their chest. Whatever.
And now
next
it's not
scene.
Funny anymore. Yeah, now because the
now
reality.
I don't think I would find it as
Got
funny.
It. So if I challenge you to something in the future, it should be like Rugrats?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I can play that on the piano.
You can play the Rugrats theme on the piano?
Yeah.
That is awesome. And Tommy, he grew up into a kind of a cool guy, right? They did like an adult.
All growed up.
All growed up. Thank you. The Rugrats got all growed up. And they all seem pretty cool. Chucky actually did a lot better than I thought he would do as a human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't remember what happened with the twins. Phil and Lil?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on with Phil and Lil and all growed up? Have you seen All Grown Up?
That's the one where they're just teenagers, right? Not adults.
Oh, are they? They're not adults? I just read about the premise of it. I didn't.
Chucky is really smart.
Yeah, right?
As
he's
a
doing
teenager.
Successful stuff, yeah. And Tommy's cool because, of course, he's Tommy.
Tommy's the cool guy.
How can you not?
Phil and Lil are just the twins.
Tommy was a cool baby. I would have hung out with Tommy as a baby. Like
Toothless Tommy.
Yeah. If he could have talked to me, and I think that in Rugrats they couldn't talk to the adults. Or could they?
No,
was it a Family
couldn't.
Guy situation? Was it like Brian could only talk to some people?
Okay, they were hiding
or
that
Stewie.
They could speak.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so if Tommy had talked to me, I would have wanted to hang out with Tommy. And that wouldn't have been weird at all. Just a guy and a baby going places. That would have been totally fine, right?
With him actually walking on...
Right, like him just chilling and being like my buddy. Like I wasn't caring for him as if I were his father. He's just my friend, like my baby friend.
So which ride should we hit up next? Oh, I don't know. Raging
Bull. Oh, my God. What is happening? Are you like, do you do a lot of these? Are these?
I do, yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead.
I can't believe you didn't know this about me. We've known each other
too.
How many years?
Yeah, no, I do these too, by the way. I really do like
I know
to
you
do.
Do. I've noticed. Okay. Apparently you don't notice me.
I don't notice
things.
You doing these voices. So, Elif, go ahead. Give me some impressions. Let's end the podcast or maybe not end the podcast with impressions. This is so good, by the way. Anyone that's listening to this podcast and thought they were clicking on Game of Thrones season one, because that is still what I'm titling this. You're going to be pretty disappointed. I like the whole first season. Shocked that Ned Stark died, et cetera, et cetera. Elif, do voices.
How you doing?
No, what is that voice? Is that your New Yorker? Is that your Joey from Friends / New Yorker?
The latter.
That's not.
You didn't like that one? Okay.
Well, no, it's not a good. Let's hear your New York accent. Do New York.
Okay.
Because how you doing is sort of like you're trying to be New York then. You're going to go into a whole
how
New York accent.
How you doing? You want to go to the lollipop store?
Are you?
I don't know.
Who are you in that? Are you abducting a child? Is that what you were doing right then? Want to go to the lollipop store?
Ooh,
that doesn't
me?
Sound, yeah.
Adopting
why would I do that?
I mean, adopting.
That sounds ridiculous. I would not. That's ridiculous what you're doing right there. I can't believe you.
I like that.
With
that
a lollipop.
Good.
I don't even understand. No, that Elif, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know why that was your go-to New York sentence. I think you think they're all pedophiles. Go ahead with your next one. Next accent.
Okay.
Look, can I hear British again? Go back into British.
All right, I was going to do Irish, but I guess.
No, let's do Irish. Irish is better. Let's do Irish.
You want me to keep doing these accents? Craig, what do I look like a play toy?
Oh, you certainly do. What Irish people do you know?
I don't know.
Any. Irish. Okay, so where did that accent come from? What TV show did you watch? And you're like, was it Heroes? Did you?
I don't know if I watched any TV shows.
So your Irish comes from? Are you secretly kind of Irish? Do you have Irish ancestry?
I don't, but I used to watch a lot of SNL, and I would see them doing impressions, and I'd be like, I should do some impressions myself.
That's what I need to spice up my life. I need to just do impressions for people. When you do accents, are you worried that it's offensive at all? Are you ever worried it's offensive?
No, because normally I only do them to people who know me well enough.
Yeah, well, no, because that's the thing. On Patty's show, every time we talk about Ireland, Irish people, maybe an Irish car bomb, anything that the word is thrown in there, I immediately want to be Irish Craig, which is a person that I was for a whole summer. And I've started to feel like maybe that's offensive now. Maybe me being like Irish Craig on the radio is not, I don't know if that's okay. You know, because like an Irish person is listening and I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm an Irish. Look at what I'm doing. And that's not, you know.
I don't think people should be so sensitive.
Right. Yeah. It's silly. I mean, we do accents. Obama did a fake accent one time, I think. I feel like I just made that up on the spot. That's not
I
a true.
I feel like you did.
Yeah. Like a British accent or something. Something happened. He was somewhere.
Part of having a sense of humor is accepting that people.
Well, and just being intrigued. I mean, we're both in an industry where, you know, what we hear is obviously the most important part of our day. And so if you hear someone with an interesting accent or an interesting way of speaking, I am immediately tempted to try to mimic it because, you know, it's intriguing to me.
So you're not the only person. I mean, so I'm not. So you are also like this?
Oh, all the time. And even with people's like idiosyncrasies, I want to be able to do as many impressions of just people as possible, not just, you know, and like SNL is a great example. They do so many impressions on that show that I then think I'm doing an impression of the impression, which is confusing. But that is something I immediately do when I hear someone on SNL do an impression.
Do you remember the Target Lady sketch that Kristen
did? Do I?
Yes.
Okay. You can do the Target Lady? Go ahead.
Here's a positive spin.
Okay, Elif, we got a rapid fire accent right now. I'm going to just yell stuff out. Can you do a whole lot of things?
I can. You can yell something out and I'll tell you if I can or can't.
Russian.
Oh.
I'm from Moscow and took some music lessons. No,
that was I felt like I was there. That was amazing. French?
Yeah, sure. No, I can't do French.
Oh, ho, ho. That's all you got to do. You just got to do.
Ho, ho. Nah.
What do you mean you've tried?
You sound like Santa.
No, that's French Santa? Because regular Santa says ho, ho, ho. So French Santa would be like ho, ho, ho.
Is that,
I don't know.
I don't
know where we're at now. No, you've
done
it twice. You're doing it great. What is? Why were you working on a French accent and then you gave it up?
Because I saw, again, I saw someone doing it on SNL and I was like, they're so good at it. I wonder if I can do this.
Should I have binge challenged you to watch SNL?
No,
I'm not going to do that.
You can binge.
What did you want to watch? If you could, have been the one doing the challenge, what would you have picked?
Friends, maybe?
Oh, yeah, because we talked about that. I did Friends versus Seinfeld a few weeks ago on my podcast.
I saw that as well.
Yeah, which was not actually a Friends or Seinfeld specific. It was the two, because in my Christmas podcast, I said that I thought Friends was a better show than Seinfeld.
Is that what inspired the quote-unquote feud between Patty and...
And Nick, yeah. Just the fact that I called it a feud, I guess, was not okay. Because a feud, I guess, is a strong word. I didn't know that feud was such a strong... I mean, I know that by definition, I guess it's kind of a strong word, but I thought it was also, you know, a silly word. Like the family feud.
It is kind of silly, yeah.
Right. The family feud's a TV show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go on. They don't actually, like, fight each other. I haven't seen the family feud in a while, but I don't think they actually, like, beat each other. Do they kill each other on that show? Does that give you nightmares, the family feud?
They did once.
Really? They murdered a guy in the family feud? Mm-hmm. I have missed stuff. But so, you know, from that kind of colloquial, am I saying actual English words?
Yeah.
Colloquial use of the word, I thought that it was okay to throw feud out there.
I don't know. I mean, I...
Would you say you were having a feud with someone in a joshing manner?
Yes.
In a joking fashion?
Yes.
If you and your friend got into a very small argument, or maybe not even an argument at all, if you said something kind of innocuous, again, I'm not sure if I'm using this word correctly. I think that's about, I'm just going to stop correcting my own vocabulary. If you used a word and like your friend was like, no, that's not, you know, would you guys call that a feud?
Yeah, you can.
I don't know what.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, see, yeah, right, language. Yeah, because I use that word too. So... Right. So that's not a big deal to call something a feud, but it turned into a big deal and then we had to retract it. That is the first retraction I've done at this radio station.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it really?
It was. We did an on-air retraction of the feud that didn't exist, the joke feud.
Well, anyway, I prefer Friends.
Craig, so you're saying a lot of stuff and I don't know what you're saying, so I'm just going to switch back to the Friends thing. And yeah, I like that show. You like it better than Seinfeld?
I think so, yeah.
Have you seen a lot of Seinfeld?
I've watched a few episodes. I mean, I was never really following it that closely.
Do you think it's an age thing? Nick seemed to think it was an age thing, that there's a certain age when if you grew up late enough, you probably grew up on Friends and Seinfeld feels like an old show.
Maybe.
Because Tim Barnes, even on my podcast, was like, Seinfeld feels like an old show, but Friends was a little bit more...
90s?
Yeah, something he was familiar with from his childhood.
That could be the case.
Got it. Seinfeld made a lot of things really funny. They made a lot of really great jokes. I also think that the fact that the episodes didn't connect a lot, that they all just had their own kind of one-off kind of storyline, is not as difficult as having a connected kind of plot throughout. And even though Friends didn't have much of one, the romantic relationship stayed the whole time. And that was, you know, to me, kind of interesting. Yeah. All right, I've run out of things to say and weird things to make you do, so I think we have to be done with the podcast, unfortunately, unless you have more accents. Do you want to give us another one before we go?
You want me to do another British one?
Yeah, sure. Let's do as many British ones as you have. Do you have several?
No, just the one.
Do you have the My Fair Lady or whatever it is, the British one? Like
the proper one?
No, the other one. The really unproper.
Cockney?
Cockney. Yeah, give me that one.
I can't do Cockney.
Okay, so you can do proper British.
I can do... city English, London English.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm on the show WGN Radio right now.
That's correct, you all.
I'm with Craig Collins.
That is correct. The entire show has been quite interesting this evening. We've done quite a lot of highbrow, I think, entertainment. None of it has been lowbrow, and it certainly all made sense. I would say that of this podcast, of any podcast I've done, the trail of thought that I had was obvious the whole time, and everything I said made complete sense. Would
Absolutely.
You agree?
Yes, totally.
Oh, why, thank you. And if you were to give me kind of a one-sentence description of this evening's conversation, you would call it?
One sentence or one
I would No, word. I would like a full sentence. I don't want just a single word. I would like an entire sentence.
This conversation was both informative and confusing.
Wonderful. I feel excited about the things you've said, Elif. This has been You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. Come back next week when I have no idea what I'm talking about.